Transmitting sound. Now launching audio stream. Broadcasting from Taz Basement in Montreal in support of Sun Youth's Christmas Basket Campaign. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Kelly Alexander Show as we broadcast from Taz Basement in Montreal in support of the Sun Youth Organization's Christmas Basket Campaign. We have a jam-packed show featuring Hollywood actor Benz Antoine of Romeo Must Die. We speak with DJ Chris Paré, and we hear from Sun Youth's own Sid Stevens as he tells us how to help less fortunate families throughout the world this holiday season. We've got lots to do. Let's go.
Capture your need for sound.
Hello, it's Kelly Alexander, and we are broadcasting from Taz Basement in support of Sun Youth's Christmas Basket Campaign, and we're very happy to be on location today doing this to support families in need this holiday season. And we are very grateful to manager Sandro De Luca, who has graciously allowed us to hang out in his store with our DJ Chris Paré and hang out for a couple hours and try to raise as much non-perishable foods as we can, as well as some monetary donations. And so I'm very happy right now to speak to Sandro and ask him a few questions actually about Taz Basement, because it's such a cool store. Sandro, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Sandro, the first question I want to ask you about is you have two levels in this magnificent store. There's so much stuff here. Can you give us an idea about some of the clothing and you even have footwear here? Can you tell us what people can expect if they come to your store?
Well, if people expect to come to see us, we got all brand name clothing. Our concept is all at discount prices. We got all the in footwear. Fragrances, all brand names, all at discount prices. Almost anybody, nobody can beat our prices.
And with regards to the fragrances, I'm taking a look over in the corner here to my right, and there's just a ton of fragrances for both men and women?
For both men and women, yes.
And what is the average discount, you know, if they were to go to a regular store, what's the average amount of money that they're saving by buying the fragrances from here?
It can be anywhere between 30 to 50% off.
Wow, that's amazing. And with regards to the store, you know, it's the holiday season. I'm assuming a lot of people come here to shop for Christmas.
Yeah, this is our busiest time of the year. We're just waiting for it to start and kick in, and we're excited for it, and it's our best time.
Sandro, a question for you, actually, as we are in the holiday season, and again, a lot of us want to buy some cool gifts for our families and friends. If they come to Taz Basement, what are some of your hottest items that are on sale? Like, is it the jeans that go, the jackets? You have amazing footwear. You know, what should people be looking out for?
Well, we've always been known for our jeans. We've always had a huge selection on jeans. That's pretty much our number one item. We have a huge selection of winter coats that are doing very, very well for us this year. And perfumes. I can't tell you how much we sell. It's incredible. So that's always a perfect gift. And if ever you don't know what to get here, we do offer gift certificates, and it's for any particular amount.
And that's fantastic. And actually, today we're very lucky here on the Kelly Alexander Show because Sandro has been kind enough to let us give away some gift certificates to Taz Basement. As long as people bring in non-perishable food items or non-perishable goods, or they drop some money in our little money jars for Sun Youth, they get put into a draw to be drawn out during the afternoon here, the day at Taz Basement, and we're going to be giving away these amazing gift certificates for Taz Basement. I can tell you right now, I'm looking around the store, there's so many different styles of jeans to choose from. There's amazing sweatshirts and every kind of t-shirt going, socks, and again, the footwear is fantastic. So, Sandro, not only is Taz Basement here in Montreal, you also have another Taz Basement in Toronto, which is amazing. But how long has the store actually been around for?
We're the original location here in Montreal. We've been around in business for almost 20 years, I'd say. It's about 16 years now. I've been here for 10 of them, and they've been great years. I've seen the store evolve. When I first started, it was a almost a little corner, and now I've seen it to develop into a huge downstairs floor. And a couple of years later, we renovated and opened up our second floor.
I'm assuming you need a lot of sales staff and support staff. How many employees do you actually have working at Taz Basement in Montreal?
Right now, we actually have about 25 employees working for us. Between full-time and part-time people. So, some of them are full-time students, some of them are part-time students.
Now, Sandra, I wanted to thank you guys for hosting us here to support Sun Youth, which is an amazing organization here in Montreal to help the less fortunate. And I guess I just wanted to ask you, why you guys decided to get involved with us, the Kelly Alexander Show, to help out this holiday season.
Well, when this was brought to our attention, we had no choice but to say yes for it. I mean, it's such a great organization. Anything that we can do to help the less fortunate is just a big plus. Whatever we can donate or accumulate for them is great.
Fantastic, Sandro. And do you have a message to people out there listening? Because we're online, we're worldwide right now. What would you say to people in their own communities who should think about helping out their own communities during this holiday season?
Well, always remember during the holiday season, just be thankful for everything that you have, and always think about the less fortunate. If you give, you'll only receive in the long run.
That's fantastic. Sandro, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much for having us, Kelly.
That's Sandro DeLuca, again, manager of Taz Basement here in Montreal. And again, if you are in the Montreal area, and even if you're visiting from out of town, you really need to come see this store. It's just fantastic. 9120 Avenue du Parc, again, near the Lacadie Circle right here in Montreal. Kelly Alexander, as we continue to broadcast from Taz Basement in support of Sun Youth Christmas Basket Campaign.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
The holiday season is in full swing, and even though it's supposed to be a joyful time of year, it can be very difficult for a lot of families if they're struggling financially. An organization that's been helping Montreal families for years is Sun Youth, and we are very happy to have Executive Vice President Sid Stevens join us on the Kelly Alexander Show. Sid, thank you for making time for us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
First of all, Sid, can you tell us about Sun Youth and why it was created in the first place?
Sun Youth was an organization that was started in 1954, 56 years ago, by Earl de la Prelle and myself. And we did it basically as a hobby, to keep ourselves busy and out of trouble. It started as a sports and recreation organization with a handwritten newspaper called the Clark Street Sun that we would rent to people at 3 cents a copy. And with that money, we generated funds and were able to set up sports programs, outdoor hockey, rent schools, gyms, and have basketball. And that's how the organization grew. Today, we've gone from a $500 budget to a $5.8 million operation, and in 56 years, we're putting out a lot of fires.
And Sid, what are some of the services that you provide to Montrealers in need?
Well, as far as Montrealers in need are concerned, we have a food bank. The first Monday of every month, we give food to senior citizens. The first Tuesday for expectant moms. The first Thursday for kosher food. But on a regular basis, after the 10th of each month, we supply food to approximately 100 to 125 people who walk through our doors a day. So we're averaging about 2,500 families per month that we're feeding. And we've lived through the recession. We still notice that there's a lot of people asking for our services and demanding our help. It's not a pleasant thing for me to have to tell you that we have 1.5 million children that go to bed hungry every single night in this country. Just at food banks itself in the city of Montreal, there's 137,000 people who use food banks monthly, 82,000 are children, and it's Sun Youth, one of every five that uses our food banks, a child under the age of five. So we have a food bank that gives food to people who are in need, regardless of the age. We have young families coming in here. We have senior citizens coming here. We have a special medication program that helps people pick up the cost of medication. We have a program that responds to any emergencies in the city, working with the fire department, the City of Montreal, and Red Cross, where we've responded to approximately 175 fires, an average of one call every 36 hours. So those are two big programs we have. We also have other programs where we have our crime prevention program working with the police department, patrolling the parks and playgrounds. We have people working in schools in a bullying anti-taxation program. So we're growing, but we're growing, unfortunately, on people's misery.
And Sid, with the holiday approaching right now, how many families do you think you're going to be assisting in this holiday season alone?
From the 18th of December until the 24th, our target is to help 18,000 people or 5,500 families, and that's also supply brand new toys for 10,000 youngsters under the age of 12. So we're going to be very busy, but of course the urgent need is there. So we're asking people if there's ever a time, a season, a reason to give, it's now. And we're asking people to step up to the plate and be very, very generous. Non-perishable canned goods, chunky soups, canned ham, canned fish, canned meat, salmon, and even hygiene products are very important, as well as baby and adult diapers.
And Sid, you mentioned it briefly when we were just chatting a few moments ago, but apparently, you know, they're telling us that the recession is over, but you have noticed that still people need our help more than ever and than years past.
Well, it might be over for some people, but I could tell you that we're noticing among our 18,000 donors, and they're very loyal, they've been with us, but some of them are cutting in their donations. And one of the reasons they're telling us that a lot of the investment companies that used to donate to SunYouth have had a terrible year. I can tell you that as SunYouth organization, we're seeing new clients coming in, people who have jobs. We're seeing people between ages of 55 and 64, too old to recycle in the job market, too young to collect a pension, that are availing themselves of our food bank. So we're seeing an increase. I mean, you go from 2,000 families a month to 2,500. For us, the recession's not over.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show this week is Sid Stevens of Montreal's Sun Youth Organization. Sid, what are some things that Montrealers can do to get involved and sort of help out Sun Youth just with regards to this holiday campaign? Do you actually want volunteers as well, or just the food basket?
We can use volunteers. I mean, it's a key. The organization is a success because of volunteers. We go over approximately 600 companies and maybe about 900 people who volunteer. Those who are interested in volunteer can call Lynn at the Sun Youth Organization at 514-842-6822. But our big concern is we're asking people to be very generous with non-perishable canned goods or monetary donations. Tax receipts will be issued. And whether it's one can or two cans, it's important. You know, some people say, well, I'm only going to give you four cans. Well, if you give four cans, that's very important, better than the one who doesn't give any. So we're asking people this year to be extremely generous because we need your support. We have people lining up our doors at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, just for a handout of food that normally starts when we open up our doors at 9 a.m. in the morning. So if people are coming here waiting, it shows there's a great need. There's an urgent need in this city. I could tell you that probably when we look at statistics, we're probably one of the capital cities in Canada when it comes to helping people to utilize services of food banks.
And Sid, us here on the Kelly Alexander Show, you know, we serve a global community. We have listeners in the States as well as overseas in Australia. What would you tell people that are not just in Montreal that you know, are looking to help out their own communities?
I'm telling people that if you've given four cans of food to a food bank or a soup kitchen, please give five. If you've given two cans, please give three. If you haven't given, please start. And not just Sun Youth. I mean, any food bank. We have 950 food banks in Canada. Any food bank, any soup kitchen that they can help, anytime they can volunteer, that's a great asset. So we're asking people to be very, very generous because it's very, very important. And the more they donate during the Christmas period will help sustain the cold, tough periods of January, February, March, which is actually worse than Christmas, because people are generous during the first 2 weeks of December. But our needs are 365 days a year.
And Sid, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I guess one of my final questions would be, like you said, people want to help out during the Christmas season, but you obviously are still helping a ton of people even in the summer months as well.
Yes, I could tell you that January, February, and March are very crucial. The cold weather sets in, bills start piling up, heating, hydro, electricity, clothes are very important. So I could tell you that the more they give at Christmas, the more generous we can be in January, February, and March. 90 days after Christmas is very crucial.
Sid, thank you so much for taking time for us today.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very much for the airtime.
That's Sid Stevens of Montreal's Sun Youth Organization. For more info, check out www.sunyouthorg.com.
Somebody coming in. It is always nice to see you, says the man behind the counter to the woman who has come in. She is shaking her umbrella, and I look the other way as they are kissing their hellos, and I'm pretending not to see them, and instead I pour the milk. I open up the paper, there's a story of an actor who had died while he was drinking. It was no one I had heard of, and I'm turning to the horoscope and looking for the funnies when I'm feeling someone watching me, and so
You're enjoying the sounds of DJ Chris Perry on the Kelly Alexander Show from our broadcast at Taz Basement. Have a guest with us. I'd like to normally stay in studio, but live on location right now as we again support Sun Youth's Christmas Basket campaign. He's a native Montrealer who has made it big acting in Hollywood films like Romeo Must Die, Get Rich or Die Trying, Four Brothers, and Death Race. Benz Antoine, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you for having me.
Benz, I have to start off by asking you, how did you get into acting? Is it a career that you've wanted to be in since you were a little kid, or did you fall into it?
Wow, you're professional. You already, huh?
I'm already.
Okay. You know what? When I was a kid, when I was like 5 years old, we used to actually live in California. My mom told me, she told me this about 5 years ago, that I actually told her I wanted to be an actor. And she never told me until, you know, 5 years ago, which is like, why didn't you tell me before? I thought I was crazy. So, but actually the way I got started was I was dating a girl who was an actress, and I was a rapper at the time, because I started, and that's why I told him it's familiar to be on the mic. So the girl was an actress, told me to take her to her audition, and I, you know, took her there, and of course I got the part, and she didn't. And that's
how the relationship ended.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a true story, and that's how it happened. And from there, I never looked back.
And being from Montreal, was it hard to get your sort of start happening in Hollywood movies? It seems that there's so many actors out there. Was it hard to get noticed?
Well, yes and no, because, I mean, when the Americans started coming here, they gave us a great opportunity to, you know, get involved in productions and in movies that we never would have had, you know, access to. A lot of my friends in New York and L.A. and Chicago, they don't get the opportunities that I've had, you know. So by them coming here because of the dollar and the tax credits and all that, we got a chance to be in those movies and then from there take that and parlay it into a real career. So, you know, I've been very fortunate.
And I have to ask you, what are your favorite roles to play? Do you like being the bad guy, the conflicted character, the hero?
Well, since I'm an extremely nice guy in real life, I like to play the bad guy on TV because it's just a little bit more exciting.
And you have to tell us about your new movie that came out this summer, and I think it has sort of had different release dates, but Sortie 67 or Exit 67. Can you tell us what's it about, and did you shoot it right around here in Montreal?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I want to take this opportunity to send a shout out to Mr. Federico Taz, Mr. Taz Basement himself, for hooking us up with a lot of great deals on the clothes, on the wardrobe for the cast. And so, big up to you for helping us out with this little movie that we did called Exit 67. Yeah, it was shot in Saint-Michel and Pinneuf, so primarily in the East End of Montreal. And it was a great little film that actually still playing at Guzzo at La Caldera. So it's actually number 5 on the Quebec, top 10 movie dollars list. You know what I'm talking about. And so it's a great little project that, you know, we did that details a little bit about what happens in the gang life and how certain kids do get caught up in that game and, you know, how to get out of it.
And I have to ask you, I read that the movie was shot in 3 languages. Is that true?
That is very true, especially my character, who I play, is Brooklyn. And the film was written by a great director called Jeff Desbastien. He wrote, directed, and edited the movie, so big up to him. And so a lot of times the characters spoke 3 languages, so English, French, and my native Creole. So just to keep it authentic and, you know, make the kids realize that, this is real and it's something that they could actually identify to.
Was it difficult to do the 3 languages, or was it just seamless to go back and forth?
Mais ça dépend. Des fois, on peut changer comme ça sans savoir. It's definitely something that we do. That's how me and my friends speak, actually. We speak that way, you know, Creole and French and English. So it was natural for a lot of the characters to do that. Some of them, most of them did speak French all the way through, though. But, yeah, just to give a little flavor, like now we have international offers, you know, to go to France and to go to the States. It gives it a little cachet, a little something special when you do that.
Joining us on the show today is actor Benz Antoine, www.benzantoine.com. And again, as we broadcast here from Taz's basement in support of Sun Youth's Christmas Basket campaign. Now, you've been acting, Benz, in the business for a while.
Please don't say how many years, because then they're going to start counting.
I'm not going to start doing that. That's too much math for me. Can you tell us about some key things that you've learned about Hollywood and what you would sort of pass on to an up-and-comer? Because I think Hollywood eats a lot of people alive.
Hollywood took a chunk out of my left arm, I'm telling you. You know what? A long time ago, before I started, I used to see Luke Perry. I know he's not necessarily one of the greatest actors, but he was on, 90210. And he said something that actually I didn't understand until a few years ago. He said, no matter how many doors get slammed in your face, you know, it's not about you. It's never about you. You know, when you get a role, it's not about you. When you don't get a role, it's also not about you. So that's the hard thing to actually try to get in your head. Because when you get a role, you're excited. And when you don't get a role, you're sad. But really and truly, it's not about you. Because you know what? You look like their friend, their cousin, their sister. You don't know why they chose you. They chose you for a reason. And you should just like fulfill your path and stay on the course. And like I told you before, keep chopping that tree till it falls, because they all do.
And with regards to you being, a male actor in Hollywood, again, there's so many, whether you're male or female down there. And I know a lot of times we always talk about the pressure for the females to be in shape and look good. Do you feel that pressure as a male actor to, you know, look good and take care of yourself and be out running around and jogging, lifting weights, all that sort of stuff?
yes. Actually, it's funny. I'm laughing because on my Facebook page, I have my little cousin from Boston. I was there for Thanksgiving, and she put up like a survey. There was an actor called Idris Elba, who was on The Wire, and then Morris Chestnut, who you all know, Boys in the Hood and whatnot. He's on V, and then myself. And she, you know, suggested that they're better looking than I am. And then I said she was crazy.
She's no longer your cousin.
Oh, but she lost a bit. So all she put it on my page and everything, and all the people were commenting, putting us in order. So, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that you have to keep up to. You know, you have to try to stay in shape and especially make sure the ladies are happy, you know.
And what's up next for you, Benz? What are you working on now, and where are you going to go in the next maybe 18 months?
18 months from now. Wow. I don't even know what I'm doing 18 minutes from now. Right now, I'm working on a French TV show, actually, so I flip it in French for a little bit. It's called 19-2, so like Precinct, like a cop show. I play a very disturbed police officer in the show, so it's like a stark contrast from the bad boy I play in 67. And yeah, so that's what's coming up for me. That starts in January. You know, we're shooting that now. Once I'm done with my projects here in Canada, then I go to LA for pilot season, like I was telling you, and try to hit that home run. You know, keep letting them know Law and Order is mine, baby.
And do you want to keep acting for the foreseeable future? Is this something that you plan to do? And do you at one point want to get into writing, producing, or directing any of that sort of stuff?
You know, every Saturday when I'm in Montreal, my grandmom sits me on the table and says, okay, what are you going to do with your life? Because they don't really count this as a career, right?
Right.
If you're not a doctor, lawyer, accountant, you're not in. You know, this is what I do. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've done some directing and I do some writing. And of course, you have to write to create your work. I mean, most of the times on the shows that you work on, somebody wrote them, right? So you have to get out there and make it happen. But in terms of the acting, you know, it's my first love. It's what I do. And you know what? It's something that... that comes from within, you know. I was telling my mom this morning that if I had been born now, I'd have probably more geared myself towards Obama, right? It's if you have someone to look up to, then you want to be that. My Obama was Denzel.
Okay.
You know, when I was 22, I'm like, oh, I figured I'd catch him in about 2-3 years. It's been a while, but I'm still running.
That's fantastic. Benz, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
On location at Taz Basement, this is the Kelly Alexander Show, proudly supporting Sun Youth and its Christmas Basket campaign.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who would dance on the floor in the round. She said, I am the one who would dance on the floor in the round. She told me her name. Yeah.
It's a great pleasure to introduce you to our very talented DJ, Chris Perry, who's been spinning for us today as we broadcast from Taz Basement here in Montreal in support of Sun Youth. Chris, thank you so much for helping us out today and for being on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Pleasure, as always. Thank you so much.
So, Chris, you have to tell us how you actually got into being a DJ. Was it something that you had sort of as a burning desire since you were a little kid?
No, you know what? I actually went to the UK on an academic exchange my third or fourth year of university, and when over there, I discovered, you know, sort of the rave scene and the after-hours scene. I did discover, you know, this passion for records, mixing music and stuff. And, you know, that was like when I was 20, 21. And, you know, I just picked up some gear and just, you know, kept at it for the better part of a decade. And here we are.
And, you know, when you got going, because I think a lot of us, you know, who are into sort of DJs, we always want to sort of think about how they, like, what was the sort of first set of gear that they actually got.
Oh.
So were you, like, making the mixtapes, or did you actually go out and buy your decks, like, full on right away and then ready to rock?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. It was really sort of piecemeal, you know, just picking up whatever I could find, you know, like one beat-up turntable with a CD player and, like, a mixer that a friend lent me. And, you know, you just sort of put it together over time, and, like, this is sort of... this is like a hot rod I've been working on for 10 years. You know, it's my baby, so I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And when you, you know, you briefly mentioned the type of music that you got into when you first sort of fell in love with DJing. When you started to spin, what did you really like to spin? And then have you progressively changed styles over the years?
I've radically changed styles over the years. Like, I think some of the first parties I was going to were like, psychedelic trance party. It's very intense, you know, rave music. And, you know, over time, it grows weary after a while. And I sort of branched out. I play a lot of house, a lot of hip hop, a lot of, you know, just fun music for dancing.
And with regards to the, you know, the house or the hip hop, do you yourself have a genre that you like to play more, or does it depend on the party that you're doing? Like, you're sort of easy come, easy go, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, it's all about the people, you know, and it's if you call yourself a DJ, you play for the people. That's your responsibility. You never play for yourself. And if the room wants hip-hop, I'm playing hip-hop. If the room wants house, I'm playing house. If I had a personal preference, I'd play house for, you know, 10 hours straight.
And with regards to finding the music, where do you actually go, Chris? Where do you find the music? How do you stay up to date on all the music that's out there? Because, for example, I follow Jermaine Dupri, producer Jermaine Dupri, quite a bit. He also, even though he's, you know, produced for Mariah Carey and Usher and all these people, he actually is a DJ on the side as well. I think he's almost out every weekend doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he says that he goes to a lot of strip clubs to see what's hot and what, you know, what the people are dancing to there. So how can you, because there's so many, you know, there's so much new music coming out all the time. How do you know what's happening, and how do you keep on top of it all?
Well, geez, I guess I have an excuse to go to strip clubs now. I never knew that. But, no, you know what? I'm entirely ruled by my environment, in that, like, if there's a record store that's three blocks away from me, I will go to that record store, and if they have something awesome, I'll grab it, great. But I'm not one of these guys who goes onto, like, eBay and, like, tracks down records and whatever. You know, if something comes across my radar and it's new and I like it, I'll grab it. But I just like to immerse myself in my city, in my environment, and just, like, take the best of what's there, you know?
And when you're actually out, Chris, because, again, I think for some of us who don't do this as a day job or even as a side job, when you are out, you know, actually at an event, how do you, I guess, gauge the crowd? Because, like, let's say you know you're going to an event and you know you need to play hip-hop. Where do you start? Where do you go to the middle? Like, how do you end? Do you have, like, an outline in your head of the playlist that you're going to do, or does it really, like, you feel the moment?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's like you sort of have to have a game plan to come out of the gates, and just sort of you got to feel it out from there. And anyone who plans a set from start to finish is not taking into account that, you know, the people he's playing for just might not be into that. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to go with the flow. And sometimes you just... You know, sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, most of the time you just got to, you know, be sensitive to what people are vibing on, and just go with that. And, you know, some DJs will do their own thing, and you have to go with them. Other DJs, you know, more like me, you know, I'm all about the people. And if they want this, then I'll play this. If they want that, I'll play that.
And I have a question for you, because, and I know it's different when you're talking to, like, a wedding DJ as opposed to a club DJ, but you know, because I know at clubs, I think they keep the people a little bit more segregated from reaching your DJ booth.
Yeah.
But what do you think of when people actually come up and are like, I want to hear this? Does it annoy you? Because I know, like, I think wedding DJs, they expect to get that when, you know, they're at a wedding. But how does it feel if someone actually gets to you and is like, you know, I want to hear Michael Jackson, this or that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's an etiquette to it. And, like, I totally do not mind getting requests. And a lot of DJs don't mind getting requests. It's when people are really obnoxious about it or when people have no regard for what everyone else in the room is liking. You know, if everyone else in the room is, you know, getting off on, like, hip-hop or whatever, and someone comes up and they're like, I want to hear, you know, Neil Diamond. You know, it doesn't work. And you're an idiot if you think it does. And it's that kind of rudeness that really bugs me. But I have no problem with requests, you know. And again, it's all about the people. But the people have to, you know, have some semblance of what's going on around them.
I'm glad you cleared that up, because I always wondered how it was for like a club DJ to get, you know, Joe Schmo coming up and asking for something stupid.
Yeah.
So very good. Joining us on the show today, DJ Chris Perry, who is graciously spinning the tunes for us as we broadcast on location from Taz Basement in Montreal as we support Sun Youth Christmas Basket campaign. Chris, I guess the next question I have for you is, who do you look up to in the DJ world? Because I think, you know, no matter who you are, there's always someone that's come before you. So who do you look up to?
Wow, so many role models. I really sort of I put the Detroit DJs on a pedestal, just because in terms of techno, those guys were really, really innovative, you know. Like, That generation of DJs, you know, Derek May, Jeff Mills, all the Underground Resistance guys, you know, when they were growing up, the only way to sort of escape the hellish, you know, surroundings of Detroit was to sort of lose themselves in comic books and science fiction. And they just took that idea and they ran with it. And they created this kind of dance music that was about escaping reality, about hoping and looking towards something better. And I think that totally summarizes dance music to me. It's about putting yourself somewhere else. It's about forgetting your 9-to-5 and just losing yourself in just good, solid, trippy, original dance music. And, you know, it's all about those Detroit guys. They just took it to the next level, and they continue to be the benchmark, you know, and I just love them. I'll name drop again: Carl Craig, like all the Transmac guys, Purpose Maker. Like, it's just they're gods to me. And
what do you think, Chris, of, you know, because I think a lot are made of you know, American DJs versus European DJs. What do you see as a difference? And I know obviously you have a preference for Detroit.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the European DJs?
Well, you know what? It's like Europe is the place to be for dance music. You know, it's like it's sort of an inevitability where, you know, if a really, really good DJ is coming up in Canada or the U.S., sooner or later they're going to move to Berlin, you know, and that's just a fact of life. It's that we do not support dance music here in North America like we support dance music in Europe. And the European scene is the end-all be-all of dance music. If you really, really want to make something of yourself, you've got to get over there at a certain point. So mad respect to Europe for sure, but I'm very happy where I am.
Fantastic. And a question I would have with regards to the scene itself, whether you are in Europe or you're here in Canada or the U.S., is it a cutthroat scene? Are you guys, as DJs, supportive of one another?
I guess, you know, the smaller the scene, the more supportive you want to be, just because you want it to happen. You don't want to sort of undermine each other and then have nothing. You know, it's like that kind of competition really doesn't help anyone. You know, I guess when you get onto, you know, when bigger scale stuff, like bigger clubs and whatever, like I wouldn't consider myself like an A-list DJ by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think competitiveness helps anyone. I think it's much less of a factor these days, you know, because there's room for everyone. It's not like back in, you know, the 80s or 90s where there was a select handful of guys who ruled all the clubs. It's really opened up, and I think that's made people less competitive.
And what's your favorite part when you are actually, you know, at an event DJing? Is it, you know, creating the set or being in the moment and sort of watching the crowd as you spin?
The ultimate satisfaction is just connecting with people, you know, and it's very tangible, it's very palpable, that moment where everyone is on the same wavelength, and that's what you want to achieve, and that is the most rewarding thing about it, I think.
And what are some of your goals, I guess, with regards to your DJing career? Do you want to one day be spinning in Ibiza, because it seems like everybody wants to get over there at some point during their career? You know, yeah, where does Chris Perry want to go with this?
Well, I don't know. It's, you know, it's like a lot of DJs, I think they feel the pressure to become producers. Like that's some sort of, you know, that should be the next step. But to me, I don't really feel compelled to make my own music. I just want to DJ as much as humanly possible for as many people as humanly possible. So, yeah, I want bigger gigs. I want, you know, more exposure. But I just like playing for people. I like to keep it simple.
And what advice would you give to young DJs who are, you know, just sort of getting started? Is it all about the networking? Is it about sort of hanging out in your room and getting better as quickly as you can and then taking it out? Like, what would you say to a young buck right now?
Just find out whatever works best for you in terms of, like, gear and setup. You know, some guys prefer laptops. Myself, I prefer vinyl. You know, so find out what setup you're most comfortable with and just start collecting as much music as humanly possible. Don't buy music that you think people want to hear. Buy music you love and play music you love. Because if you play music that you think people want to hear, it's going to sound terrible. You know, you got to play from the heart. That's all I can say.
And I'm glad you brought up the difference with regards to DJs playing vinyl versus, you know, the laptop and all that sort of stuff. And I wanted to ask you because, you know, the new toy on the market is the iPad. Mm. And I happened to see just like maybe 2 weeks ago, this lady, I forget her name right now, but she was showcasing some apps on the iPad where you can DJ. And she sort of has custom made her iPads a little bit for her, but she can actually DJ a full set. And she DJs off these, you know, off the iPad and with the faders and the flying faders, and it's all virtual. What do you think of people like that? Is it going to take away from people like you who are actually still out there spinning and scratching?
No, not at all. I mean, there's room for everyone. And if it works, it works. I mean, that's what I tell people. It's like, you know, just because I prefer vinyl, like if you have a laptop and, you know, you're rocking a room, then that's the bottom line. You know, if it works, then I'm behind it. But, you know, if I can just get nerdy for a second, the reason why I play vinyl is just because it's such a rich, beautiful sound. And when you're playing on a computer or you're playing on an iPad, you know, everything is being pumped out through the same sound card. So you're getting a much flatter sound than you would with something like vinyl. Vinyl just has depth and richness. And sometimes it doesn't matter if you're just, you know, if you've got your iPad and you're playing in your apartment for your friends or it's a house party or something, that's awesome. Go for it. But, you know, when you're playing on more serious sound systems, you want it to sound amazing. And it doesn't sound any better than with vinyl, period.
And just a question I wanted to ask you previously when we were talking about the music that you spin. Now, I've asked you about the DJs that you sort of admire. Is there specific acts out there now that you love to spin?
Oh, you mean certain artists that I really get behind?
Yeah.
Wow. Geez, that's a good question. New stuff that people may have heard of. You know what? One of my favorite labels is this label out of New York called DFA. They're the ones who do it's LCD Sound System and all those cats. And it's sort of a throwback to disco, but it's very modern. You know, it's got a lot of live instrumentation, but it's still very like housey and techno-y and a lot of fun. You know, I love stuff that references the past, but is still very modern at the same time. Yeah, definitely DFA, LCD Sound System. I've got all that stuff. Love it.
And I wanted your thoughts too on artists, you know, who still put out the remixes, because I think it's still viable, in my view, that artists are putting it out. And I know that, you know, Madonna has been very supportive of the dance community and putting out her songs as remixes. Janet Jackson, you know, CeCe Peniston, all these artists that were sort of out in the heydays of the 90s. And now we've got Rihanna doing it, Katy Perry, Pink. Do you still think that you know, these artists need to be backing and supporting the remix community?
Absolutely. I mean, like, the music industry is just in this constant state of upheaval, you know, and if you dig your heels in, you're going to fall behind. And, you know, artists really have to embrace the people who are remixing their music, you know. And, like, there's a lot of horrible remixes out there, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's amazing that someone can take a piece of music and completely reinterpret it and give it new life. And, you know, big, big support and big respect out to Rihanna and Madonna for embracing that. And that's the future of dance music, you know. It's all about cutting up and chopping it up and reconstituting and recontextualizing. It's amazing. And I think the more people remixing, the better, just because it's going to get the music out to more people.
And I have to ask you about a story that you were relaying to us sort of off mic, the Barbra Streisand story.
That was embarrassing. I felt like such an old man last night. I was playing this party, and this girl comes up to me just as I'm playing a David Guetta song, and she says, "Do you have any Barbra Streisand?" Or at least that's what I thought she said. And I almost laughed her off, and I feel terrible now because, as Esteban pointed out to me, that's the latest Duck Sauce track. And, you know, that's A-Track and Armin van Helden, and I feel terrible for not being aware of that.
We all have to be put in our place now and then, eh, Chris?
I feel very humbled.
A final question for you. If people want to reach you, how can they get in contact with you to spin at their parties?
Oh, for bookings, just email me, chrisparre@yahoo.ca, chrisparre@yahoo.ca. Drop me a note.
Chris, thank you so much for doing this for us today. We really appreciate it here on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a great cause, and it's an awesome show. Thank you so much.
Awesome. That is DJ Chris Parre right here on the Kelly Alexander Show as we continue to broadcast from Taz Basement, the Montreal location, in support of the Sun Youth Organization's Christmas Basket Campaign. And Chris has been doing a fantastic job as we party and, again, collect non-perishable food items and just non-perishable goods in the grand scheme of things, as well as we're taking monetary collections as well. So we're having a great time right here on location, Taz Basement.
Bring on the Remix. Remix.
Shut my Playboy mouth.
I'm not afraid to die.
That pretty much does it for us this week on the Kelly Alexander Show. Thank you so much for joining us on our very special edition. It's been a wonderful honor for our team to broadcast from Taz Basement and raise non-perishable items as well as monetary donations for an amazing organization like Sun Youth. And remember, no matter where you are in the world, there are always families in need. So if you can, please help out your local shelter and food bank. A big thank you, by the way, going out to the amazing staff and management here at Taz Basement in Montreal. Also to my guests, Benz Antoine, Chris Paré, Sid Stevens, Sandro DeLuca, and Michelle Adams. I also want to personally thank my team here at the Kelly Alexander Show for making the event a complete success. Esteban Vargas, Chris Paré, Mario Butino, Derek Stanbridge, Nat Lozon, and Sandra Jollymore. So there you go. That does it for us. Have a wonderful week. And by the way, if you have any comments or questions, Kelly@KellyAlexanderShow.com. And please make sure to tune in next week when our very own personal trainer, Nadia Lawan, stops by to tell us how to make it through the holiday season in a happy and healthy way. Have a great week. You and I will talk soon.
Thank you for joining us on our special edition of The Kelly Alexander Show, broadcasting from Taz Basement in support of Sun Youth's Christmas Basket Campaign. Special thanks to the management and staff of Taz Basement and to you, our listeners, for all your support.
We would very much appreciate your comments and questions about our programming here at PCJ Radio. You can contact us via email at pcjradio@gmail.com. Once again, that's pcjmedia@gmail.com. We also invite you to visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and listen to all our programs. You can either download them from the website directly or subscribe to all our programs in iTunes at www.pcjmedia.com. And while you're at our website, do take part in the Happy Station Show Friendship Sponsorship Program. There are three levels: silver for $1, gold for $5, and platinum for $10. The selection is yours. This is PCJ Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXE produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXE Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdean Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
This is PCJ Radio.